alone fighting my case, and I'm ready to still fight my case and be reunited with my family.
You had a brother who was deported, who ultimately died in Michoacán, where you come from?
Yes. Yeah. He was deported a year ago, and after that, he was just killed. We still don't know what happened. We don't know who did it. And my family and I, we don't want to go through that kind of stuff again. So that's why I'm coming back and be reunited with my family.
And the significance of the latest news out of Rome, out of the Vatican, a 10-year-old California girl traveled to the Vatican to plead with Pope Francis to help as her father faced deportation. He was then released on Friday after she met with him as she was getting on the plane to come back to the United States. Does that give you hope, Jaime?
Yeah, I have faith, and I can think we can expect something good from the authorities, because that's why I am doing these interviews to raise my
Jaime,
voice.
Jaime, we're going to have to leave it there. Jaime Valdez speaking to us from Nogales. We'll see if he makes it into the United States. I'm Amy Goodman with Nate Valdez. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
On your concert billboard for Sunday, March 30th, Au Privat Jazz will be Big Daddy's Massapequa, beginning at 12:30. Tom Falco and Kevin Griffin will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 1 p.m. Blue Roots will be at Painter's Restaurant in Brookhaven. Check Funk, Crave and Strange, an all-new episode, will be at the Even Flow Bar and Grill in Bayshore, beginning at 2. Richard Schindel will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, 7 p.m. Jorma Kalkanen acoustic show will be at the Suffolk Theater in Riverhead, 7:30. Dream Theater will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. On your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, March 31st, Black Sabbath will be at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Jason Blum will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 3, 8 p.m. Joe Louis Walker will be at B.B. King's, Manhattan, at 8. Tangiers Blues Band will be at the Iridium, Manhattan, 8:30. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, April 1st, Daily will be at the Highline Ballroom, Manhattan, 8 p.m. Jerry and Dennis DeMeo will be at Jack Halliard's, Oyster Bay, 8 p.m. Robert Randolph and the Family Band will be at the Brooklyn Bowl. Sam Moore will be at City Winery, Manhattan, 8 p.m. And Slavic Soul Party will be at Barb's of Brooklyn, 9 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, April 2nd, James Maddock will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 3, 8 p.m.
If you've ever enjoyed the shows that you hear about on WUSB Concert Billboard, then think of giving us some funds to keep this going, both the music and the information. Call 632-6901 or WUSB.FM/pledge on the web.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Tonight, we're presenting the first of a series of programs from the Netherlands, recorded at the Ulm 2013 Hacker Camp. This program aired on Ulm Rup 104.7 FM, which was a radio station formed especially for the event. Attendees could also hear the audio of the station by dialing 104.7 on their decked phones. Now, what we're going to hear tonight is the debut broadcast of this station, which happened to coincide with the verdict in the Bradley Manning trial on July 30th, 2013.
Omroep 104.7 FM, 104.7 on your deck.
And we are streaming. My name is Brenno de Winter. This is a special broadcast with regard to the verdict that is now imminent on Bradley Manning. Next to me on my left-hand side is Emmanuel Goldstein.
Greetings.
Greetings. You've been to the trial?
Yes, actually, Kyle, who's here as well, and myself went down to the trial about, how long ago was that? Six weeks ago?
Yes.
It was a while ago. It was a few weeks, and we went down to Fort Meade, Maryland, just drove down there to see the Bradley Manning trial, and got in very easily. It was fascinating experience, very boring inside the courtroom, but it was important to show up and show support. And now, at this very moment, the verdict is about to be announced in that same courtroom, and we're trying to stream various news services to see just what happens.
Yes, and you're working on that. Thank you very much. Also present, indeed, we heard him already, Kyle. Hi.
Yes. Hi.
While Emmanuel is checking out what's happening, how was it in that courtroom?
Yeah, very strict. A lot of security, a lot of minding your manners. They very much wanted to control the behavior in the courtroom. And we had heard a bit about it from some of the people that go down there regularly, so... For us, it was a new experience. I'd never been to a court-martial, which is a bit distinct from an ordinary American courtroom. So, the security was quite rigorous. They pat you down before they give you ID, and then you're sort of corralled in fenced areas and led into waiting rooms before the courtroom is ready. They often shuttle you in and out for private consultation and stuff. It's a different process.
We're just getting some information from Twitter that reporters are being told that they're not allowed to file a report as when the verdict is announced. They have to wait to be let out of the courtroom. So even though the verdict might be announced any moment now, until they are let outside the courtroom, they won't be able to tell the outside world. Crazy.
That's pretty bizarre, actually.
It's a military court. It's not even like anything on this planet.
Yeah, there were no communication devices allowed in the courtroom when we visited. We had to leave telephones and computers in the car.
Okay, also, thank you very much, Kel. Also present is Nido.
Hello.
Hello. Did you follow the trial at all? Or
A little bit. I also have a copy of the complete transcripts of the trials with me here. So if you want to know something of the past, then you have to say the date and then I can find it out.
That's definitely why we need Nido here. And also present is Cecile Landman. You're a journalist.
Yeah.
You've been very interested in the case.
Well, I've especially been interested in the last time in how, in fact, journalists were treated in reporting on the case. And, of course, you had their senior of Boeing, who reported also on that they were really they had the soldiers or whatever military behind their backs and they were snooping on their screens and whatever, and that's something I found so incredibly not fitting with what the United States sort of claims to be. I mean, this was something of it sounded like a military dictatorship sort of story.
It is kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, and you were describing the whole situation with the trial itself, but the trial itself, that there is even a trial, I think is kind of strange. Or am I out of line here?
Yeah. We noticed some interesting things. I mean, we were there for a short time, just a sliver, just a taste of what it's like. And as Emmanuel indicated, it was quite boring. There was, basically a lot of reading and droning on and on. Often they would enter statements and simply read a statement verbatim. It sounded like to hear their own voices, but that is, instead of just presenting a document, they're just reading it verbatim so that it's on the audio record and things like that. So it's very dry, and you're not allowed to sleep in there either. So it's almost like they're trying to keep people away from it. And yeah,
strange. Hey, and having said that, trying to keep people away, the whole procedure itself is whole different, huh? Because in general you have a jury.
Yes.
We don't have that in the Netherlands. How is that with the military court? And in the meantime, I'm sorry for being so chaotic and interrupting it.
I'm just looking at a live feed of Fort Meade, the military base right now, and there's cars going back and forth. I think I'm looking at the Reuters feed, but we don't have any word on the verdict yet.
Yeah, so there were several different teams. I believe there were three attorneys for the government side of the case and two appointed attorneys, as well as Bradley Manning's attorney. So about three counselors on each side, and then basically the witness in the back, the people in the audience, either representatives of the government agencies or the general public, as we were that particular day. There were also bailiffs and the equivalent of a bailiff, people monitoring the trial on the other side of the gate, as it were. But this was not a trial by jury at all.
No. And did it all seem independent, or how is that? I mean, in Netherlands, in general, judges are pretty independent.
Yeah, she, the judge in this case, she seemed quite serious, very stern, kind of listened very quietly, had a couple questions. At one point, as I said, a lot of the statements were being entered verbatim. They had a list of files, and they kept reading very long file names that had maybe one digit on the last part of it amended. And she finally stopped them and said, "You know, this is the government she's speaking to. You need to. Why don't you just tell us anything that's changed? Because you're just listing things kind of mindlessly." So she seemed to be basically letting them know that they can't be too absurd. But they did sort of get free rein, the government, and Bradley's side was just sort of accepting everything that was entered.
Okay. But one thing to remember, though, is that she's a member of the military as well. They're all part of the military. And in some cases, I thought this was kind of interesting, the members of prosecution outrank her. So it's kind of an awkward place to be if you're a judge trying to render a verdict, and the people that you're judging are above you in rank.
Yes. We are here with a whole bunch of people. You just heard Emmanuel Goldstein. We are following the verdict being announced as we speak for Bradley Manning. Unfortunately, we can't know directly because journalists are forbidden to report until the whole verdict has been read. I was talking to Kyle. Cecile Landman, journalist, a lot of investigative experience. Have you ever seen a similar case like this before?
No, I don't think so. but I think I have a lot of experience in Italian cases, and mainly against organized crime and all that, which, as we know, runs up to Italian politics as well. And what I found the most impressive cases I've ever seen is like the case against Andreotti, where also... one of the mafia killers, a very ferocious man, was also in the same tribunal, and that was pretty impressive. I still remember it, but that's completely another thing, and it's really another branch of sports.
Hey, Emmanuel. Now the verdict is being read. Can Manning appeal if he's convicted? Because in the Netherlands, you can appeal. You can go to the Supreme Court.
Hang on. I'm just getting something from Glenn Greenwald, who's saying that Bradley Manning is not guilty of aiding the enemy. Let me confirm this. This is something that I'm just seeing from Glenn Greenwald and getting a bunch of tweets right now coming through. Bradley Manning has been found not guilty of aiding the enemy, the most serious of the 21 contested charges facing him. I am stunned. I am stunned by this. I'm seeing something from Brigitte.
Because you believe he did it?
Not because of that, believe me. Brigitte Jean's daughter has also just tweeted, "No one has been nor will be held accountable for the war crime and collateral murder except Bradley Manning." But that's Wow, this is incredible. Not guilty of aiding the enemy. What this means for his for whatever sentence he is given, it's certainly good news, obviously, for Bradley and for
everybody.
Yeah, and
that's the thing about the U.S. system. Once you've been acquitted of something, you can't the government can't appeal that. The state can't appeal that.
I believe that's the case. I'd like to think that's the case here. Again, dealing with the military, the rules are different, and I am certainly not an expert on this, but I'd like to think that is the case. In any event, this is certainly a moment, a very happy moment to begin this conference on, certainly, that Bradley Manning has been found not guilty of aiding the enemy.
Okay, is there any further confirmation that indeed this is happening?
This is the verdict. This is the verdict. I'm getting multiple sources now saying this is happening, and yes, he is not guilty.
That's really, really impressive.
So we might ever see him as a free man, but we don't know what the sentence will be yet.
Yep. The sentence, I believe, will be announced sometime in August. But what I'm trying to find out now is what the possible sentence could be with this not being something he can be guilty of now.
Wow. I'm kind of amazed at this moment myself.
Yeah, me too, me too.
Yeah.
I'm stunned.
We're still talking about one of the... What was it? 21
the most,
charges?
Yeah, it's the most serious of the charges.
This would be life without the possibility of parole. And
yeah, it's a good one to win. I really agree. But there's still a lot that can go wrong in the verdict.
And this was the foundation of their case against him.
Yeah.
To say that he was the one that is causing the enemy to benefit. And Bradley Manning's defense, of course, being that he was simply trying to reveal information to the world, not the enemy. And that this information needed to be out there. And incredibly enough, in this military court, it seems that justice has prevailed.
Yeah.
One of the very strange things was that the collateral murder video, if he indeed leaked that, was already out there. It's not new, you know. The full transcript was already available in a book.
Well, so. It was out there in the sense that lots of people could see it, but it wasn't out there to the public. The public couldn't go and look at this see that evidence.
The transcript was in the book of it. So people could have read about it. Now all of a sudden you hear the voice, and now you see basically a war crime going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really amazed that they really... responded this way, you know, and that's bad news for Snowden at least. So, but any more news so far?
I'm monitoring a lot of things. There's a lot of congestion on the net, as you can imagine. But we'll try and find out more information. I'm looking.
Any other responses? Oh, that really helps, Cecile, by nodding no.
We have a gathering crowd, though, in the radio station here. People are gathering. I think this is really an amazing moment, a real historic moment here, and what a way to start home.
Yeah, I think this could really substantiate what leaking has been, and it's obviously really, really good for Bradley Manning. But this means a lot for journalism and for getting information out. It seems the government or this judge has some sense that what he did has a place, has a purpose in our society.
Let me just say, if he had been found guilty of aiding the enemy, which he has now been found not guilty of, he could have faced life in prison. What he has already pleaded guilty to, which is nearly a dozen lesser charges, he could get up to 20 years behind bars with what he has pleaded guilty to already. So that's what we're going to find out in the future, is how much time he will actually get for that. And maybe he'll get much, much less, if anything, but he will not be in prison for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing news. That's something I never thought I'd be able to say.
No, I didn't really expect it. Just for the people that are just tuning in, Bradley Manning has been acquitted of aiding the enemy. What sentence he will receive is not yet known.
This is amazing too, because to imagine the amount of imprisonment he's endured already, that's fantastic for him. Because to have a life to continue for a life imprisonment, so we can really cross our fingers and hope that the sentence is just.
Yeah, and on the things he still may be acquitted based on your First Amendment, what we in Europe would say Article 10, the freedom of speech or freedom of expression. So. It's really curious. Does this have any influence on any potential case against Edward Snowden, the leaker of the PRISM documents?
No, a lot of people were worried about whether it would go the other way around, whether what Edward Snowden was doing would have an adverse effect on Bradley Manning's case. Apparently, it didn't, at the very least. Maybe it even had a beneficial effect. I can't help but think that this is something Edward Snowden is very happy to hear as well, that maybe there is some level of sanity that could affect him in the future if he ever finds himself before a court. This is a good precedent to set, and something that I think we're going to remember for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. People are asking, can we call in the studio just yet? No, we're not not set up to that, but everybody's welcome to come to the studio, join the conversation. We are following the story of Bradley Manning, who just heard his verdict, but we cannot hear it until journalists come out of the courtroom and are allowed to talk about it. In the studio is Cecile Landman, journalist. Nido, who has a fetish that...
Hacker
fetish to gather all the documents. And two people who have actually been in the courtroom with Bradley Manning.
Kyle.
Kyle, yeah, sorry, Kyle. We only know each other for 5 years or so. So, yeah,
you're forgiven.
Carl, you've been in the courtroom. How was Manning himself?
Wow, no, that's an incredible question. He was very, very obedient, almost looking at the dependent on the judge. Very much jumping right up when he was required to stand for the judge entering the room. He looked well. He was healthy looking. Dressed up in full military uniform, he was answering, responding to things very succinctly, just really doing everything he could to present and work within the system that he had there. And I think both Emmanuel and I were really impressed with just his attentiveness and cooperation to see this thing through to completion. And
Emmanuel Goldstein and Kyle, you went together?
Yes.
Also? Okay, and how many times have you been to the courtroom?
Just the one time.
We just went once. We wanted to join some of the people that had been down there because we had heard so much about people that were going in regularly. We wanted to see how hard it was to get in. We wanted to encourage other people to go and support the thing.
We're getting some more updates. There were 21 criminal counts against Manning. As we've reported, he has been found not guilty of aiding the enemy. However, he is being found guilty, as we're speaking, he's being found guilty of most of the other counts. And according to WikiLeaks, he's not guilty of aiding the enemy, but guilty of most of the other counts, facing a maximum of more than 100 years in jail. So what I said before, probably should ignore that, because he could still face the rest of his life in prison if he is given the maximum for every single one of these. But again, we don't know what the judge will do as far as that goes. But yeah, he's being found guilty for just about everything else, but not the most serious charge, which alone could have gotten him life in prison.
Okay, so it's still very exciting what will happen.
Yeah.
Do we know how many counts he has been found guilty of and what they look like?
I'm seeing what they're called. I'm not familiar with exactly what they pertain to. I'm seeing charge 2, Farrow Record 793E, Gitmo File 793E. There's a whole lot of them, and I imagine we'll have some interpretation of what that was all about in the very near future.
Okay. Well, keep giving us the update. Good that it's out there already. We don't know everything just yet, but what we know for now is that Bradley Manning has been acquitted of aiding the enemy, but has been found guilty of many other charges. What his sentence will be is for now still unknown.
It could still be over 100 years from what he is being found guilty of as we're speaking, including exceeding his authorization access for the Cablegate documents and many others.
What also is still a possibility is that the judge can have terms run consecutively.
Yes.
And so it still might be a lot. He still may ever get out. We just don't know. The only thing is, will he go to a federal prison or a military prison? How does that work?
I imagine it would be a military prison.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being released into the civilian population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know there's hardly any early parole for federal prisons. I don't know how that works for military prisons.
That's part of the mystery of this case, is we don't know, we don't have that much information about how military prisons work, how military courts work, and how those things transfer, but certainly not something that would go to like a civil court or be sent to a lesser judge and by any means. It's a very closed system, and it's unique.
Maybe a question for Cecile. Can you explain why it is so important what Bradley Manning did?
As we remember, there was a war going on, and everybody could see that on their daily TV shows and actuality, whatever. Things really changed when... it has to be so close. Things really changed when, in fact, the collateral murder video came out. I mean, I've been doing networking with Iraqi bloggers over 5 years during the war. And, of course, people were interested, but it's always the same people that are interested in these messy things, in a way. So when the collateral murder video came out, I also noticed amongst my Iraqi friends, because they have become that in the meantime, were very glad that that happened, because they knew of daily stories like that in which... innocent Iraqis, from children to very old people and everything in between, were just being bombed, and it was obviously not always the infighting between Iraqis, but it was often big mistakes, or you can also obviously ask if it was always mistakes. On purpose, people were just being killed, and reasons or motives were completely unclear, except for keeping people in fear. And as we know now, if we look at Iraq, I mean, there is still this side going on, the Iraqi body count. If you look over the last months, it's really, really going into the meat machine that it was at that time. So nothing's really been solved there. Absolutely not.
We can now verify that Bradley Manning has been found guilty of all 20 other counts. He was found not guilty of aiding the enemy, but every single other count that he was accused of, he has been found guilty of. And I think each of them carries a maximum of 10 years in prison. So I'm going to try and get more details on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless we have the sentence in, it's very hard to really respond to that, but it gives me the goosebumps just to realize that such a young man has now such a consequence. And if you see what he released, indeed is very impressive and very shocking. So for the listeners, let's just repeat, Bradley Manning has been acquitted of aiding the enemy, but he has been convicted of all 21 counts brought against him for leaking documents, leaking cables, over 500,000 reports about the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the 250,000 emails, records, the cables that the diplomats sent around the world, and which gave a very interesting insight in how this diplomatic world is actually working and how relationships really are, because there were a lot of shocking details in there.
Yeah, of course, but I think let's put some optimistic note here. I think the whole case of the collateral murder video and the start of WikiLeaks has also brought us to another era in which we have now also that huge data leak of the offshore countries or places, you know, like Ireland and the Netherlands, but also the Virgin Islands and all that. And people have been also, there's this wonderful project by an Italian artist who sort of hijacked the complete, what is it called? What is on the naming?
Firm list, business,
the business list or whatever. Company list of the, what is that island called? The Cayman Islands. And he put them online, and you could buy certificates in which you could sort of become a co-owner of that firm, and then you could have your own private loophole to have your taxes go through some other way, like all the big companies do. It's called loophole for all. It's very funny.
Yes.
To play. Well, but this is, I mean, there and that the offshore leak has been followed by other leaks. So it's there is really a change going on. And what I also think is very beautiful is how journalists are now. We can see that. Also, mainstream journalism has learned from this, has learned from how they went along with WikiLeaks and what happened after with the other leaks.
True. For now, I've prepared a song, Gogo Bordello, Not a Crime, because I think that is basically what's going on here. It used to be not a crime. And then we'll talk a little bit more about WikiLeaks and...
One thing I just saw is that sentencing will begin tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I don't know what that means. Sentencing will begin. It might take a long time to sentence him, but we'll find out as soon as tomorrow what Bradley Manning will face for these guilty counts.
Я письмо достал, Николай Иванович. И опять запрещенное, совершенно запрещенное Белинского Гоголю. Ах, Николай Иванович, какое письмо!
Drop the charges! Это запрещенное, давай!
Not a crime. много болтал, работать не хотел. Сидел много болтал, работать не хотел. Not that crime.
It's not a crime, it's legal, perfectly natural.
And you're listening to a special broadcast. My name is Brenno de Winter. I'm here with a whole bunch of people in the studio talking about the verdict just announced against Bradley Manning. Left on my left hand is Emmanuel Goldstein, well known from 2600. You've been to the trial. You have been following the story the entire day. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is that Bradley Manning has been found not guilty of aiding the enemy, but guilty of the 20 other counts, including 5 under the Espionage Act, in addition to the charges that he already had pled guilty to in the past. So with all that, we just added it all together, and it comes up to about 136 potential years he could face in prison, given the maximum for every single one of those counts.
So that's a pretty grim outlook. Also in the studio, Nido, you're a hacker, but you've been also following the case. Tell us, what were the other charges that Bradley Manning was in court for? So he's one was aiding the enemy. That was the charge that would automatically give him life without the possibility of parole. But what else?
Yes, that's the biggest one. The list of the transcripts don't really have a handy list of charges, but luckily our friends at Wikipedia have a list of charges against Bradley Manning. And, well, on the top, as you said, is the one UCMJ 104, aiding the enemy. That was one count. The second one on this list is the UCMJ 92, which is failure to obey a lawful order or regulation. There are 9 counts of those.
Wait. So the fact that supposedly he leaked documents is also disobeying an order?
Yeah, it's basically it's sort of an umbrella thing that he's violated in any of the transgressions that we've come to know as a part of the story. Basically, he didn't part of using the systems, and his privileges were to follow use them properly. And it's like basically breaking the rules if you're working with computers. It's similar to that. I think it's just a broader charge.
So that's 9 of them, and then?
Yes, this one breaks down a bit. This is Army Regulation 25.2, paragraph 4.2.6, which forbids transmitting of classified information to non-secure systems. I believe the thing is that WikiLeaks is considered an insecure system.
Which is kind of hard to believe.
If anybody has any experience with securing a system, that would definitely be WikiLeaks.
Seems by design they're fairly secure, especially with anonymity and protecting their sources, as we know.
Yeah, I think something that we really need to look at. I know, we're very worried about what the sentence will be when it's announced tomorrow, or when they begin to announce it.
Oh, by the way, when you think you hear. Yeah, a noise. It's not your decked handset or your radio falling apart or the computer breaking down.
It's just climate change.
It's climate change. It's just a little bit of rain.
It's torrential rain. We're lucky we're inside, because you just step foot outside and get soaked immediately. Okay, we're worried about what happens tomorrow morning when the sentence starts to be announced, the sentencing process begins. But the thing that he was found not guilty of, aiding the enemy, speaks to intent more than anything else.
Yes.
It says that Bradley Manning was not there releasing his information to help the enemy. And I think that means a lot for a judge to say that in this particular case. It may not help him that much as far as how much time he spends behind bars, but I think it's huge. It's a huge victory for Bradley Manning's defense team. Let's just hope that more victories come as far as what he is sentenced to.
Yeah, I alluded to this. As much as we might say perhaps the American government's the enemy in this case, it's tempting, but really it shows that that either the government did not prove their case well, technically, but a broader and perhaps a better outcome or interpretation of the decision to throw out that first charge of aiding the enemy is that leaking has a place. It is journalism, and it was whistleblowing, which is an important check on these sorts of institutions that we don't know very much about and that operate often in secret.
Yeah. By the way, yesterday, at least by the accounts of the U.S., the U.S. State's Senator Charles Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, said that the 30th of July should be a whistleblower appreciation day.
Oh, I like that.
That's very interesting. And it goes to show how this has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. It's basically you have people that understand it on either side of the aisle and people who don't get it on both sides of the aisle as well. So a lot of people in America realize that Bradley Manning is a hero. A lot of people think he's a traitor. And it's really hard to get those two sides to talk to each other.
Yeah, you don't think he's a traitor?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers, Vietnam War, considered a hero by most people, says Bradley Manning is me. That is me today. That's what I would have done. And this is a guy who really knows what he's talking about, and I think people need to listen to that.
I agree, but there's one thing that is in the Manning case kind of interesting, and that was that he was what he did was also the result of a lot of issues he had himself.
Everybody has issues. Yes, he had a personal life. He had all kinds of things he was struggling with. There's no question that added up to who he was as a person. But if we look at what it was he actually did, what he did was a tremendous service to the people of America, to the people of the world. And he basically showed us something that we needed to see. He showed us evidence of something gone horribly wrong, and showed us many documents that also underlined what was really going on in the world. And basically, what we learned today was, in the eyes of this military court, that he didn't do this with ulterior motives to do harm to the U.S., to aid the enemy, whatever the enemy happens to be. And I think that speaks volumes.
For me, this type of... Cecile.
Yeah, well, there's, of course, also the story of Philip Agee, and I think Daniel Ellsberg, that's more similar to Agee, where the difference is that Snowden, of course, is a very young man, and he was not in a position like Agee or Ellsberg has been, but he was sitting on shitloads of information. He was seeing that, and he was processing that with his mind. And if you call that issues, then I need to think of what happened after Philip Agee, but also, I guess, Daniel Ellsberg, I know his story less, happened to them. When they went out of their CIA positions, they were discredited in every way. So if they didn't have issues, they would have issues later, even if they were only sort of a makeover of a situation from the outside and from the discrediting part of the same things.
For the listeners, we are talking about the verdict of Bradley Manning. He has been acquitted of aiding the enemy, but he has been found guilty of all the other charges. And Daniel Goldstein is on my left-hand side, moving the table around because there's more news.
Well, it's just an interesting comment from WikiLeaks that just came over on Twitter. You said he was found, he was acquitted of aiding the enemy, but he has been convicted of supplying information to the press. And that's pretty much what we're talking about here.
Yes, indeed. And that's why we have Nido in the studio.
We can expect also other trials against journalists.
Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, this is only the beginning. Yeah, we're going to have all kinds of...
Because then you get whatever. No,
if you're at camp and you want to hear firsthand how certain governments deal with their citizen, come to the Orwell Hall on Thursday at 1 o'clock and hear me out. I think that in the Netherlands a couple of amazing things are going on. They are not as wild as this, but they are shocking still. And tune in tomorrow at 4, because then Cecile and I are on the radio back and we'll be talking about Philip Agee. Going back to Nido, you were starting on the list of charges.
Yes, and we were still working with Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article number 92, and there are three other ones which are there. That is the Army Regulation 25.2, paragraph 4-5A, 3, modifying or installing unauthorized software to a system, using it for quote-unquote unintended purposes.
Yeah, I think this refers to Bradley installing wget.
Yeah, wget, the way to download web pages, websites.
Yeah.
Explain. And maybe for the people that don't know wget.
Sure. It's really simple a free software program that can be installed on Windows PCs. It's also available on your Linux distributions and other machines.
I think it's the other way. It started on Linux. And
But it can be used. Yeah. It's cross-platform.
Yeah,
so.
Don't take this Alton Carl, but he's using Windows 8.
Yeah, well, we all have sickness. At any rate, he basically used this program to download information and a lot of these files so that he could burn them from the internal system.
This is where the justice system in general doesn't get what things are. For instance, in the Netherlands, they say, like, if you're an ethical hacker, you cannot download, but you're okay to show a listing in your browser. Well, actually, that is downloading. That is using wget. It's only done by the browser, but it's the same technology. The only thing with wget is that you keep downloading all the time, and you can download or see as a whole the entire website.
Yeah, it basically pulls everything from the page as files, and it's a way of batch processing a website. And so Bradley implemented this program on Windows machines while he was in Iraq so that he could use his access to the internal government systems and create a large disk full, in this case, of media that was then leaked.
Yes, indeed. Neato.
All right, the next one on our list is something that will be something right at home with the people right here, which is Army Regulation 25.2, paragraph 4-5A4, which is circumventing security mechanisms.
Who at camp didn't ever do that? I thought as much.
And the last one is something where we, as a people, are probably not going to agree with the government or the American government that this was a crime or that this has happened at all, which is Army Regulation 380-5, improper storage of classified information.
Improper storage? Yeah,
I think this is the big one in regards of the charges.
But that's strange, because if you already get somebody of putting it unauthorized on a certain network...
I think we're preventing a leak here in the studio.
There is so much water on the roof here that we're actually pushing it off into the ground.
Wow.
Wow, these are conditions.
So this is his use of a disk, storing classified information on a disk and not on their systems. Also, the previous one I wanted to speak to, just briefly, that was circumventing security mechanisms. I believe that the way he did that was by logging in.
Yes.
Using his account.
Yes.
That he had access to everything. What was the name of the program? It was the... this was...
All kinds of military
CipherNet.
Programs. Well, CipherNet was the network that was used, I believe.
Sure. Yeah. These kinds of internal networks to the government.
You can find all this information and a whole lot more by looking at the transcripts, which have been made available thanks to all kinds of contributions, because the court was not going to make them available, so people had to donate money to come up with a transcription service. And if you go to pressfreedomfoundation.org, you can go to the Manning transcript section and look at the entire trial. And it's great if you're trapped inside a tent tonight in the pouring rain. This is a great way to spend the night reading. It will stop after 8.
The Bayerader says so.
You guarantee this?
Bayerader guarantees it.
Yeah, she doesn't want to believe or to trust totally in Bayerader.
That's in 15 minutes.
Meanwhile, before we go on, Nido, in the studio, and you might remember him from HRFM as one of the two favorites... news readers, Andreas. Oh dear. Welcome to Ohm. You just arrived in the middle of the flood of rain. Andreas Sikkema, welcome.
Yes. Thanks very much. Glad to be here. I would have preferred to be a little drier, but...
Oh, we've used up the nice weather already.
So. Yeah, I've noticed. But...
Yeah. Yeah, and did you get the news already?
I think I heard some good news, good and bad news at the same time, but...
Yeah, the bad news is that Bradley Manning has been found guilty of 21 charges. 20 charges, and one charge, the biggest one, aiding the enemy, he's been acquitted of.
Yeah, but that was the biggie.
That was the biggie. Yeah, but all in all, I believe he can go to prison for 136 years. What do they do in the US if they, if you die? Do they leave you in the cell stinking until the 136 years are over?
No, they need the cell, so they get you out of there pretty quickly. All seriousness, many times people are sentenced to many years beyond a normal lifetime. I honestly don't think he's going to get anywhere near that amount of time, but he could get significant amount of time, enough to certainly be the majority, if not the rest of his life. And let's all hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, we'll know in a couple of days, because tomorrow the phase will start where the sentencing will be discussed. I guess both parties will have a lot to talk about. Any idea how that will go?
It's hard to say, but I'm looking at a Washington Post report right now, and they are saying what we've been saying today, and that is that this represents a striking rebuke to military prosecutors who argue that the largest leak in U.S. history had assisted al-Qaeda. Basically, the judge is saying, no, that's not what happened. And I think that's something we need to really focus on and realize that, yeah, they lost that particular part, the main thrust of their case. They lost that. Now, are they going to get compensated by having him sentenced to a huge amount for these other lesser charges? We'll just have to see.
Interesting and shocking at the same time. It's amazing, really.
This is very much still ongoing.
Kyle? Yeah,
and he needs our support, and we're going to have to follow this and be vigilant and see what goes on. And of course, if you are in the Maryland area, go down there and support it. It was relatively easy for us to get in there, and I'm presuming it's going to be in the same facility. So we need to continue to watch it.
Yeah, and do you think that it is really support that is being noticed, because there's a public outcry in his defense?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, does it matter? Does it make any difference that people have a vigil there weekly? Does it make any difference if you go in? Does he know when you're in the courtroom? When we were there, he wasn't even able to look at us, and it was actually a matter of the procedure where he had to look at a classified document, so he sat beside the judge, so he was able to maybe see the audience in his peripheral. But as much as we're told that as much as he has seen during this process is basically what people tell him. He's told how many people have come as visitors, but he doesn't even get to look at people. And it's a pretty weird system.
And he's also very, very tuned into the system. He is very alert. He's focusing on everything that's going on in the courtroom. He knows every bit of evidence, every charge that's laid against him. And he is trained. He is part of the system himself. Mm. And he basically is in there literally fighting for his life.
We can hope that it does make a difference to be a part of it. But what really needs to happen is understanding and more dialogue about what this means in the world and where what we're going to do going forward with journalism and what we want to do as a planet, working together or not, or what kinds of things we're okay with governments doing. And just this slice, this one bit of information that this is business as usual.
Oh, keep.
And we only saw a piece. It's just a mere glimpse into the normal practices, in this case, of the United States government.
So. Yes. Yeah, sorry about it, but it's raiding cats and dogs.
Isn't
so
it?
So I thought it was funny just to have a little bit of music underneath it.
Oh, please do.
Yeah,
it's
I want
lovely.
To keep smiling, even though actually it is a sad day. You know,
yes.
I still feel it is very bad that he got convicted at all. And the moment I saw the video of collateral murder, you see the sheer evil of a war. And I found it terrible, and the way these journalists were shot is something that hard to forget.
I'm curious how the trial of the people that shot those journalists, how's that trial going? What are those people convicted of? Or what are their names? We don't know any of that, do we? Mm.
Yeah, it was spooky when I first heard the video and realized that this is what my government does in terms of touting democracy. That's freedom right there. That's really messed up.
Oh, but the Netherlands does the same.
Sure. Well,
they prosecute journalists that show that our national airport is badly secured, that the plane of the Queen you could easily get to. This guy put his hands on it. And instead of improving security, the Dutch government went to court, lost, appealed, lost. Then they went to the Supreme Court, and now they get to redo a very tiny little detail. This journalist can get a fine, but in the meantime, the legal bills rack up, and using our tax money, they can do whatever they want. I guess this is a bigger problem than just the US, and that's the scary part of it. And, you know, if you're a whistleblower in the Netherlands, you're f***ed.
I don't think there's any government anywhere that appreciates whistleblowers. I don't think there ever will be.
But that's strange. You know, it's strange, because if you really would believe in democracy, you would be really grateful. But then, there we have it. So, talking about Bradley Manning, we were going through the list of charges against him, but that he has been convicted of. Can we have another one?
I continue? All right, we're now down to a new new code, the UCMJ 134, which is a general article, which is really great because you can pretty much do anything with it. He has 24 counts of those. They are there's a sub paragraph, which is the title 18 of the United States Code, paragraph 641.
And does it say what it means?
Which constitutes embezzlement and theft of public money, property, or records. The government has claimed that various sets of records that Manning transferred were things of value and has thus charged him under that statute.
That's so funny, because in many cases they said, like, it's old news and it's not really that important, but now all of a sudden when it comes down to a trial, then apparently it's very valuable.
It's a thing of value. Old news is apparently valuable.
Amazing. Okay.
Shall we go to the next one?
Sure.
The next one is Title 18 of the United States Code, paragraph 793E. This is part of the Espionage Act, and this law forbids quote-unquote, unauthorized persons from taking, quote-unquote, national defense information and either, quote-unquote, retaining it or delivering it to, quote-unquote, persons not entitled to receive it.
That's amazing. I could see that you basically would be acquitted on that charge.
Yeah, that almost implies that he was spying. I don't think he was spying. He was working with them. Espionage Act. I think that's a lot of these overlap too, and
yes,
it really, it really seems they just threw everything they could because they haven't quite crafted something that's specific, you know, to this instance, to this type of whistleblowing and journalism, it was not that he was working for anyone in particular. He was moved by the work that he was doing for the government to report to the people, to the world about it.
There is some news, and I have feeling
it's not really
it's
news.
About the ACLU.
Yeah, the American Civil Liberties Union has just released a statement on the Bradley Manning verdict. Just like to read, it's very brief. A military court-martial today found Private First Class Bradley Manning guilty of multiple charges under the Espionage Act for giving classified material to WikiLeaks, but not guilty of aiding the enemy. While we're relieved that Mr. Manning was acquitted of the most dangerous charge, the ACLU has long held the view that leaks to the press in the public interest should not be prosecuted under the Espionage Act. That's according to Ben Wisner, director of the ACLU's Speech, Privacy, and Technology Project. Since Manning already pled guilty to charges of leaking information, which carry significant punishment, it seems clear that the government was seeking to intimidate anyone who might consider revealing valuable information in the future. That's a statement from the ACLU.
Yeah. Yeah, that speaks to a bit of what I was saying. I absolutely agree. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know really what to say. Nido.
I'm I think I need to agree with the ACLU on that part. Let's continue.
More charges, more charges. Let's hear more.
Let's continue to the final charge in this list, or at least the final article in this list, which is Title 18 of the United States Code, paragraph 1030A, subparagraph 1 and 2. And these are from the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act from 1986. And it's sometimes called the Computer Espionage Act. So it's cutting back. This one is modified by the U.S. Patriot Act in 2001. So we can really know for sure this is a really nice law. Federal crimes of terrorism.
Federal crimes of terrorism?
That's more or less what I can make from the... It doesn't really name what it does. It has a description.
Yeah, so they're basically... They want to roll any kind of... any kind of fraud in this case into something that is related to spying and thus terrorism, and that speaks a bit to the first charge, which would be aiding the enemy, but it's not quite there. But it does classify it, or they would like to, based on this revision under the Patriot Act, like to attribute it to terrorism, which is a big scary word we like to use these days.
Yeah. Okay, neato, yeah.
I'm through my list, unfortunately.
Not unfortunately. You know, I think this is a shocking, large, and confronting list. So, to wrap up the hour, we've heard that Bradley Manning has been acquitted of aiding the enemy, but has been found guilty of a shitload of other charges, all adding up to how many years in prison if he gets the max?
136 is what we calculated.
So that is still a very grim outlook.
Well, he served 3. So maybe 133. Trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, well, be optimistic or don't be optimistic, but that's still a very, very grim outlook.
The important thing is, right now, in addition to hoping that Bradley gets decent treatment, much more than he's gotten, is that we're talking about this. We're talking about these issues with Snowden, with Assange, with Manning. These issues have come to the forefront, and if we pay attention and we hold on to them, we can actually make significant changes, but we have to care enough to do it to keep that dialogue going. We've seen things happen in the United States with the NSA, the issues that Edward Snowden brought up as far as surveillance. People didn't seem to care that much at first. And now there's a real dialogue going on, and we might actually see some change if that continues. But that's a big if.
That's a very big if indeed. Tomorrow, that phase of the trial will start. Basically, we'll hear what the government, the U.S. state, wants. Over the days thereafter, we'll see how that evolves. During camp, we definitely will remain talking about that. One last word, Emmanuel.
Courage. Courage is the last word. As Dan Rather once said.
Kyle?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is not something that's going to go away. And this is the new kind of journalism, the new world we're living in with technology and stuff, the speed. And the information now being locked down and criminalized to share about, yeah, what you're seeing at work. I don't know. I see this maybe within the military they're updating, but to maybe have this included in commercial settings and people being sworn to non-disclosure and these kinds of things. If there's corruption and things you see, you ought not to be prevented from talking about it and sharing.
Nido?
I don't have anything to add. I'm sad this happens, and I hope it will...
Well, I think it will all become a lot better when there's more people like Manning and Snowden and Assange. I think then things would sort of be able to get be changed.
Yeah, and I would like to add to that... there are people out there that have a lot of courage, like Edward Snowden, that knew what happened to Bradley Manning and still made a different choice to go public and to follow your heart and do the right thing. So we need to remember that. Thank you all for being here in the studio for the full hour talking about the verdict of Bradley Manning. And it's now on to the news. This is the 8 o'clock news. My name is Brenno de Winter and you're listening to Omroep. Bradley Manning has been acquitted of aiding the enemy, but he has been found guilty of committing other crimes. So far, 1,000 wristbands have been given out at home. And currently, it's raining cats and dogs, so please make sure your tents are well secured. And we do expect a little bit of wind, maybe going up to 6 by 4 how do you say that? No, but not a steady 6 by 4. It's
gusts.
In gusts. That was the word I was looking for. How would I say that in Italian? Windvlaag. Finally, I got you on Italian. Well, that's good to hear. And having said that, thank you for listening for this hour, and we'll now switch to music.
Actually, we won't do that, because this show is supposed to finish and go into Finn's program, but it being April 1st, Finn does not come out of the house on April 1st, so we can't do that. What we've done instead here at WUSB Stony Brook is get a hastily organized lacrosse game going, and that we should have together in about, probably about 12 minutes or so. We got people from Quinnipiac down there in the stadium. All right, we're going to have those guys there, kind enough to come down, and we'll have that game starting at 15 minutes after 7. This is Emmanuel. You might have just heard my voice on tape recorded last July. That was a special program that we did over in Holland, the day of the Bradley Manning verdict. And I was joined there by Kyle, who has come all the way over from Seattle to here, just to hear this radio program.
Yeah, that's correct. And I want to thank the lacrosse teams for such short notice for coming up with a game so that...
Well, they have to do what we tell them.
Sports department does have a good understanding of...
Radio is on top of everything else. Uh-huh. We basically issue the commands that keep this place going.
Yep. For that goes for the university and SUNY system in general.
It's April 1st, so who knows what we're telling the truth or not.
Yeah, I'm confused. Finn's a lucky... I mean, he was wise to steer clear of the April foolery.
Yes. Yeah. It's like that. So anyway, we're here killing time for another 9 minutes, I guess. Well, actually, maybe 11 minutes, depending on when exactly they get started. But we have a bunch of other programs coming up that have been pre-recorded from our travels last summer. That was the first of, believe it or not, 12 programs that we have currently.
A dozen shows.
Yeah, and we still have to finish, actually, because we're telling stories throughout them, and we didn't finish the story, so there might be 13.
So you're telling me we have no less than a dozen shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we have still more stories to catch up and tell and articulate from previous travels before we can even begin to think about a whole other set of them.
The problem is we're so long-winded that we keep talking about things and get distracted and talk about other things. And then once you introduce timelines into the whole thing, where, say, there was actually a show where we're driving on a highway in New York, but we're talking about when we were in Ireland, but when we're in Ireland, we're being reminded of other things that bring us back to other places and also bring us ahead to where we're not supposed to be talking yet. And then we see a truck passing us that reminds us of something we saw in France, and we're talking about that all of a sudden.
Right. We get like 3-4 stories deep, then distracted and think of another story in the midst of the current storytelling environment, and then come back to the first of the 3 stories deep to really bring the point back around. You know, it's an amazing thing to be able to tell stories and then bring it back around to where you started and not lose that track, and we really love doing that.
Yes,
that's the real beauty of having those experiences and then bringing them back here and then recounting them.
Yes, and it's a good thing too, because otherwise you forget, and
yes,
they have to be fresh in your mind. And that's one thing that we could do with radio is document these things. So that's the magic of radio.
And, you know, one thing you and I talk about a lot and we've learned from our travels and over the years, especially working together on these things, is that there are innumerable stories to tell, and we get better and better at it.
and it's a magical thing. There's just something to being able to bring you that atmosphere and share all these experiences like that in this just real simple medium. Mm-hmm. That I don't know, it's just there's something about it that's really fun for us, and we remind each other, and that's the thing, is that we were there as a group, we remember bits, different parts of it, and by jogging our memory and producing these things, we really do get to relive it at least once.
Yeah, and we also go around and record radio in other parts of the world as well, which is enlightening in other ways. In this particular case, we had the best of both worlds, because it was radio in another part of the world, and we were on that radio in another part of the world. It was really pretty cool. The camp, the Ulm camp, took place in the Netherlands in a camp field.
Yes.
And they set up, as they do traditionally, a radio station, actual real broadcast radio station. I think it was like 40 watts or something. They were able to broadcast all the way into a town that was fairly nearby.
Yeah.
And they did that for several days.
Yeah, and it was a pretty substantial setup. They had another tent that was doing some sort of video rehashing and broadcasting, but they had an enormous sort of like tent and like a big antenna. The antenna even had LEDs going up it, and they were colored in the segmented colors of a VU meter. So late at night, you could see the VU meter going on the antenna. It was just that kind of spirit of fun and jovial nature, but also very serious sort of local, ultra local radio there.
Yes, absolutely. You can have so much fun with those sort of things. We have another several shows taped there at Ulmrup, which was the name of the radio station there. We actually, in fact, and this might get a little confusing, we have a 2-hour episode of Off the Hook that didn't actually air over the station that Off the Hook airs at. So we'll be airing Off the Hook over Off the Wall. And that's a 2-hour show, so that'll take 2 weeks to air that. That's sometime in the future. What I'd like to invite listeners to do is let us know, would you like to hear another one of these taped shows next week, or would you like to hear us live, because we'll both be here?
That's a good, appeal. We'd like to know. We'll bring you whatever you want.
And the majority rules, and if only one person writes in, then that person rules. That's how it works. otw@2600.com. So we want to hear from you. Tell us, should we do a live show next week, or should we do another recorded show from the Netherlands?
And if you have any interesting comments or questions, or there was something you didn't quite understand in some of these recordings or any of the shows, frankly, write that same address, otw@2600.com. We love getting mail and hearing the kind of like impression people have based on the kinds of stuff we put together. It's really, really fun to hear from people and instructs us as we go on in the future.
And people don't write enough, and it's important to get your thoughts out, and you'll feel better for it as well. otw@2600.com is our email address, and this is Off the Wall, which is usually on from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday night, but tonight we're on from 6 to 7:15 because of this. It's basically Finn's refusal to step outside of his house on April 1st, and then we had to fill the time with the lacrosse game. That's how it came about.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's fitting, because what we're talking about here is basically the chaos of travels and producing stories and being involved in all these things. And the one thing you and I talk about is how it's all related. I was starting to speak to that earlier, and so one thing I forgot to mention is it's all related. Like, a lot of these stories we see kind of overlapping, and it's really, we get these weird moments like tonight where it's like everything sort of is in a weird, confusing state, bringing together all these stories, and here we are with an hour and 15-minute show, and there it is, right before us. It's all sort of connected in some way or another. There's parallels, is really what I'm saying.
Yes.
So it's a lot of fun, and for as crazy and unexpected as this show is, we're glad to be here and thrilled to be able to start airing some of the past work, so that, you know, people can catch up, and shows in the future will be in better sync, or more recent, shall we say.
That's right. Absolutely right. Yes, definitely. I'm just looking at the web as you're mm-hmm. talking. Not, I'm listening too, but I'm also looking at the web.
That's okay.
Hey,
you're
allowed. They found the airplane. They found the Flight 370. April Fools. See? That's what, too soon?
Yeah, that's kind of
not tasteful. All right. Well, you got something better, you know?
That's like ordering a mudslide in Washington at a bar.
That's a drink.
Yeah, it's just wrong. You don't do that.
What's in a mudslide? And don't say a bunch of people.
Or
because that would be so tasteless. Why would you say something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Yeah. Now, what is in a drink mudslide?
Oh, mudslide is a Kahlua, vodka, I want to say Bailey's, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
And then, yeah, crushed ice, I think. I think there's something else, though. I'm missing it. But it's like three or four different things. But definitely good, strong vodka or moonshine whiskey, you know, whatever you have. And then Kahlua and a little Bailey's.
Yeah. All right. You know, doing a 15-minute show is tough because you can't really launch into a topic that is going to take up time. You have to sort of...
Or it's like as insensitive as being like, yeah, in Ukraine and ordering a